Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
I'm going to read three verses from the Bible. The first is in Isaiah chapter 1. If you open the Bible right in the middle, you'll probably hit Isaiah. We're at chapter 1, verse 18. And Isaiah is writing down the words of God here. So God is speaking, and God says this: "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Over to the New Testament, to Matthew's Gospel. One verse there. We're in chapter 11 and verse 28. If you ever went to a Sunday school, maybe, or a children's meeting or club like you have on here on a Monday, is that right, Nigel? I was listening to your announcements earlier. You might have memorised this verse. It's quite a famous verse in the Bible. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then lastly, the last of our three verses, John chapter 7, please, and verse 37. Again, the Lord Jesus is speaking. We'll see that in the narrative here. It says, "In the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now, God will bless too is the reading of these verses from the Bible. You'll maybe have noticed, but the connecting word, or the word in connection with the three verses from the Bible that we've read together, is the word "come." And it's important for you to understand that we have a God in heaven, a God who is the supreme authority over the whole universe. And despite his awesomeness and his power, his might, and the fact that he knows all things, despite the fact that there is a God in heaven who is awesome, he is a God who invites people like you and me to come and have a relationship with him. I find that remarkable, that the God of heaven, who created all things, and despite the fact that he knows what goes on in this earth, and mind you, he must, goodness knows what he's thinking as he looks down at the moment and into our society just now, but let's make it personal. What does he think about you, and what does he think about me? Well, we'll come to some of that in a second. But he is very interested that you come to him. More than anything else for your life, what he wants, what God wants for you, is for you to respond to his invitation and to be blessed by him, to be given good things by him, and to have a relationship with him which is real and lasting and tangible. We read together in Isaiah chapter 1 about this invitation from God to come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God is inviting us to be cleansed from our sin, to have forgiveness, to know peace with God. I wonder if that's something that's of interest to you. When we read together the words of the Lord Jesus, "Come," and he's inviting us to have a burden removed and for us to enjoy rest, it's not so much that he's offering to us the cleansing from sin, although he is, but he's specifically offering to us the opportunity to have our guilt cleared, the clearing of guilt. Maybe you feel in your life that there's just this weight upon you, in your mind, And more often than not, when it is that we're worried about things, and when we're concerned about things that have an impact on our lives, it's the case that our mind is so anxious because of the worry of our guilt. Maybe you've experienced that. I certainly have. And then the last verse that we read together, you know, God is interested in us being content. God wants us to be in a position in our mind where we're happy and we're content and we're at peace and we don't have worries in relation to what happens after our life ends. But the Lord Jesus is offering a solution to that. The Lord Jesus, on that last day, as he's in Jerusalem, and he's saying to the people, to all of them, come to me. If you're looking for satisfaction, if you're looking to have your thirst quenched, he's not wanting to give them water or fruit juice or some sort of beverage. The Lord Jesus is offering spiritual refreshment, the opportunity to just be satisfied in life, to be content with what we've got. He says, if you're the sort of person that's looking for that, come to me and I'll give you it. Let's come to our first verse that we've read together properly. God is inviting you and I to come to him. Come now, he says. You know, I don't know about you, but it's quite a nice thing. It's an enjoyable thing. It's a pleasing thing when it is that you get an invitation through the post. Mind you, not many people send it through post these days. It's always good when you had a handwritten, or at least the last wee bit in the invitation was written, signed off by the person, but now it's a measly text or WhatsApp or some sort of electronic notification. But nevertheless, it's good, isn't it? It's nice when it is that you're invited to something, to attend it, and if you have to put on your best dressed outfit, then all the better. Mind you, there's few things I have found to be sadder in life. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but in the moment, it's disappointing. When it is that you have not got an invitation that you thought was coming. You know, when you feel that you're left out, that's not a very nice position to feel yourself in. And there's an abbreviation for that nowadays, isn't it? Is it FOMO, fear of missing out? Mind you, we can sometimes all feel like that. Just not being at something, or hearing what other people have said about it and how they tell you how great it was and you weren't there, and you just feel a bit disappointed. I suppose that's ultimately the situation, isn't it? Where you're never going to get an invitation that involves everybody. Nobody's ever going to have a party or an event where everybody in the whole of Dunfermline could come to it. We wouldn't have a venue big enough for that. But when we come to the message of the Bible, I think this is unique to what God sells us in the Bible. I don't think this is found in any other religious ideas all around our world. I don't think if you went to any other so-called religious book, you would find an invitation like this. God is saying to all of us to come to him. I wonder if you've done that. Has there been a moment in your life when you've come to God? Isaiah explains to us a bit about why this is important. He says to us here, come now, let us reason together, because we've got a problem. And he describes it to us. And it's God who's communicating it as Isaiah is writing it. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, one of the things about God is that he is always truthful and honest. The God of heaven and the God who communicates to us from the Bible, he is someone who cannot lie. And so he describes our condition accurately and truthfully. Mind you, many of us are not honest with ourselves. Perhaps you're the sort of person who is willing to admit that you've done things that are wrong, but nothing big, and so therefore it's not that important. You know, nobody's perfect, everybody accepts that, but I've never done something that bad that would get me into trouble with God? Well, the Bible tells us this, that if we say that we have no sin, we're lying to ourselves. God is being honest in his assessment here, and he's saying to us, here's the predicament that you find yourself in. You have a life which has been lived up until now, and more regularly than you and I would care to admit, God is telling us that we fail and we err and we make mistakes when we try to play it down by describing it as that. But ultimately, all of us, without exception, we've disobeyed God and we've broken his rules. And God makes it very simple for us. He gives us a list of 10 things, because all of us can count that far. He gives us a list of 10 things to help us to understand that we're not as good as we should be, nor are we as good as we could be. And included in that list is the fact that we should not bear false witness. We shouldn't tell lies, if we were to oversimplify it perhaps. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't be jealous or envious of other people's possessions or the life that they have. And we shouldn't put anything before God. And that's just a quick summary of some of them. You know, the reality of the situation is this, that if you and I, if we were being honest to ourselves, we would admit that we're not as good as we could be. We're not even the people that we would want to be. And then when we compare ourselves with God's holiness and pureness and goodness, surely the conclusion is this, that we have erred, we have done wrong, we have offended God, and actually we have sinned. Well, God knows this. God could have banished us from ever having relationship with him, and that would have been fair and reasonable. But God, who is gracious and kind and loving, he comes to us with an invitation. And he says to us, I know that your sins are like scarlet. I know that your life has been affected by sin, just like a piece of cloth or a garment or a piece of fabric has been affected by a deep red dye. God is saying to us here that our lives are so affected by sin that it's like a mark or stain on a piece of cloth that you just can't wash out. Well, God has the solution to the problem. If we were having a lesson with children here, we would say, if you want to clean your teeth, you would use toothpaste. And if you need to clean your hair, you would use shampoo. If you need to clean your heart, we need the Lord Jesus. We need a Saviour who is able to cleanse us from our sin. And we're told here that he's got the ability and the power to make us as white as snow. Think of the contrast there. We're in a position where we started out where sin has affected our lives and it's like scarlet, a stain that's difficult to remove, if not impossible. And then God is promising to us a situation where now we're made whiter than snow. We're cleansed and we're cleaned. And you know, this is the invitation that God is offering to us. God is offering to us a solution to the wrongdoing that affects our lives and a means by which to be forgiven and to be healed. Mind you, God is honest to us as well in that he says, come now. Doesn't say, think about this just now and then come back later when you've made your mind up. Or here's the information you need to know when your life's in a more convenient position, when you've got less going on, then let's have a discussion about this. God says, look, let's reason together, but let's do it now. You know, I think if you and I knew how fragile life was, we would make different decisions about a whole host of things. The line of work that I am in, I see people who suddenly become ill and they get to the point where they have something that's life-threatening and it's all very sudden and often it turns out to be fatal. And you would say to yourself, well, that's terrible, but surely it's people that are like quite elderly, and I'll not list off ages here because that would be inconsiderate of the audience. But other than to say this, that people who are young have life-changing events. And more than that, people who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s, as I have seen, have things that happen to them which are fatal. God says to us now, knowing that we don't know what the future entails, he says, come now, let us reason together. When we came to Matthew chapter 11, we have the one who is the Son of God, who is in this world, and he's come to bring about the resolution of sin that God is describing in that verse in Isaiah. Because ultimately, in order for peace with God to be enjoyed by people like you and I, and for forgiveness to be experienced through believing in the Lord Jesus, it required that Christ would die for our sins. And so the Lord Jesus was sent by the Father. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. But prior to him dying on the cross for sin and paying the penalty that you and I deserve for our wrongdoing, he says to a wide audience of people here, and yet again, it's a vast crowd of people. There's people from all over the world, and they're listening to him, and he says the same thing to them all. He doesn't say to this group over here, right, you folks here, because of the way that your life has gone up to now, this is what you need. Okay? And then he doesn't come to the next group over here and he says, right, you're a bit different to these folks, and therefore, what I'm going to offer you is bespoke, it's specific to you, so that it's a bit more individualized. No, the Lord Jesus looks out at the whole crowd of people who were listening, and knowing each of them individually and fully, he says, here's the answer to your problem, the issue of your guilt for wrongdoing. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. The Lord Jesus doesn't say to them, you know, go to a place. He doesn't say to these folks, you know, go to a church or a chapel or whatever, you know. And he doesn't say, well, go and try harder, or actually forget it, just stay still because life's hopeless and there's nothing we can fix about any of this. He says, come to me. If we're looking for a solution to the problem of the wickedness in our lives and the reality of the nearness of judgment after the moment that our life here on earth ends, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, is the famous verse from Scripture about this very issue. If it is that you and I are looking to have a hope which is sure for the future, and to know with certainty that when life here ends, I'm going to be in heaven and I'm not going to be facing the punishment for my life's wrongdoings, then the Lord Jesus says the answer's to come to me. You know, I'm just a bit worried that there's too many people in this world of ours, and Dunfermline's the same as anywhere else. Lots of people are concerned about the emptiness of their lives, and they understand that between them and God is a whole catalogue of wrongdoing and wickedness, but they're going somewhere to try and find a solution to it rather than coming to the Lord Jesus. If it is that you're on the hunt for any of these things that the Bible promises, the knowledge of peace and satisfaction and relationship with God, can I say to you with total confidence, based on what the Lord Jesus says here, you have to go to him. You have to come to me, he says. Come to me, and I can remove the feeling of guilt in life, and I can give you rest. And I can give you rest. Mind you, if the Lord Jesus was saying to us, come to me, and he was on the other side of the world, say in Australia, that would be quite difficult to go all the way there, wouldn't it? You know, if I invite you to something and I say, right, come, but it's in Shetland, just a bit difficult to get to that. That seems a bit too much of an obstacle. The Lord Jesus is saying to us, come to me. He's within our reach. God is near to us. The Apostle Paul said this when he visited Athens all these years ago. He says we should seek the Lord because he's not very far from any one of us. God is near. God is within the reach of your hand as you move it, not physically, but in faith and trust in him. The Lord Jesus came onto this world, onto this earth, and he made the journey, sent by God, come to save us from our sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God has come close. God is closer to you than you would ever know in relation to location. In that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you're saved. And he's able to do that because he has the power and authority to forgive sins. Come to me and I will remove your guilt. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we read together the words of chapter 7 and verse 37 of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know, this was the last day that the Lord Jesus would visit, or one of the last days that the Lord Jesus would visit Jerusalem. It was the last day of this feast. He didn't spend too much time in this city. He kind of came and went, but regularly came at different points in the year. But the Lord Jesus is saying to them, look, in this last day of the feast, make a decision. You know, time was running out for these people to respond. And he presses it upon them. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And if you believe in me, you have life everlasting. You know, what the Lord Jesus was trying to get across to these folks was, if you're looking for something better, if you're finding that life is not satisfying, if you're thirsty for something more, come to me. You know, I think everybody I meet in life is always looking for something more. I don't think I've met many people who are just satisfied completely with where they are. They're looking for something better. They're looking for life to improve. Can I say to you with complete confidence, if it is that you're looking for something better in life, nothing is offered which is more complete than the eternal life that the Lord Jesus invites you to come and have. And so this was the last time that some of these people would hear him. And I'm sure many of them, when they heard it says later on in the narrative, they believed and they said, this is the Christ. But then some of them said, well, we don't really believe this fella at all. What I want to impress to you here as we finish up is that you and I have a decision to make about who Jesus Christ is. And we don't know if we'll have the opportunity to think about these things again tomorrow or the day after or into the future. The invitation comes out to all of us. Come now. Come ye. Come to me. And the Lord Jesus says, if you're just looking for something better in life, something more satisfying, come if you're thirsty. And he's offering eternal life. I trust that God will help us to consider these things and to just understand the seriousness of facing God for all the things that we've done wrong in our life. It's possible for us to be in a position of peace and to know that the future's secure because our debt with God is removed and we can know cleansing from sin and removal of our guilt and know satisfaction in life. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.